Okay, Ron, and realizing that this is the last day of May, this year's going by in a hurry, too.
I almost forgot. I had to put the sticker on Lori's license plate.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you don't want to.
That's a.
You don't want to forget
that's
that.
That's a $185 driving lesson.
Yeah. Okay. So there we are. You know, we got to be worthy of our cause. So here we are. And, again in 2 Timothy, and this is getting into our last letter that Paul wrote in his lifetime. And, Timothy's not with him even yet because he left him, I guess, in Ephesus somewhere. It's been a long time since I read it, but anyway, and Paul is still kind of reminiscing here as to the early days together that they had together back in Acts 15. I believe it was Acts 15 when Timothy had joined the group. And so we...
16.
Okay. I know I was close.
I'll buy 16.
But we... we've come down through verse 5. As we've taken on 2 Timothy, and of course, like I said, Paul is remembering back, and he's with this letter, he's putting Timothy in remembrance also as to what went on with them early on. And Timothy was a young fellow at that time, and might have been a little bit helter-skelter there with his way of doing things, but yet certainly Paul called him his son, especially his son in the faith. And so we're going to do study 189 tonight. You say, well, 52 studies a year. You know, we're going on the fourth year pretty quick, yeah. Getting close to it. Of the last seven epistles that Paul wrote, plus Jack Everly's Workman's Interlinear with that I call wisdom, because without wisdom, without God's wisdom, it would be very hard to learn anything. And certainly, the way Scripture is written, a lot of times you got to go to three or four places to get all of the meaning of something that you're looking at, because generally it don't come in one place only. Because the Bible, the Scripture, is written in such a way that it makes reference to itself quite often. And that's the reason it's a different book from any other book that you normally come across. And lots of times it's because of language change. Because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Koine Greek, because if you're keeping up with Mick Lukowski's study there in our paper, it's beginning to show me the reason why it wound up being Koine Greek in that point. And that's good. Those are good things to know.
Yeah, he's got some really good articles.
But you get all these... and the prepositions and all the things that you run up in new words, And new words, you know, keeps cropping up all the time, but not in Scripture, but in the normal way of doing things. You have new things that comes along that produces new words. And so, you know, that causes us to have some thought too. So, but here we are. We're going to start in verse 6 of 1 Timothy. And he's still remembering, Paul is still going back. Because, and I'm going to read it in the King James Version. Now I'm going to read my notes. And then we're going to look at it in the Koine Greek, or out of the Koine Greek, really. And then we're going to look at Jack's notes. And then Jack always leaves, or not always, but 99% of the time, he leaves a scripture to go back to buttress what we just read in that verse of scripture. So here we go. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So, you know, that was one thing during the Old Testament that people did quite often. They put their hands on a new convert to give him the spirit of understanding. And certainly this with Timothy's grandmother and mother, they had set him up pretty good into the scriptural part of this thing. But see, there was some things lacking, and part of it was the laying on of the hands. And so Paul is remembering back to this to Timothy, because Timothy's not there in person for him to talk to. So he's doing it by this letter. And so I go to my notes on study 189. It says, wherefore? Well, when you see the word wherefore, or therefore, it's kind of the same in sequence, but therefore is why it's therefore. It speaks of itself. Wherefore kind of does too. So it says, wherefore? On account of our bond, Timothy. On account of the situation that you and I have together in love and truth and purpose. So, on account of our bond, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. That's a good word. You don't see stir up too often in Scripture. But thou stir up, and stir up means to stir into a flame. You know, you can strike a match and create a little fire. But when it burns a little while, it needs stirring up. Well, Paul is telling Timothy, this gift that you and I have, sometimes it needs a little shaking around or shifting up to get it to shift up to be a very practical thing. To stir up the gift of God. Okay, and of God, if that's in the genitive case, and that of there And there's 14 different words that can be used for that word of, and it not change anything much. And it's in the genitive case, and, you know, and the word is G-E-N. That's the reason we got the first book of the Bible is called Genesis. Because it is of God to man. And so basically that's what this is. It can be to man, it can be for man, it can be through man, it can be a lot of different words. Like I said, it's 14 in the I believe it's the 17th thing that's in your companion Bible in the notes in the back. I have it there. And that's something that we need to really look at. And I might do that. I'm not sure. But I might do that in my study for the conference. Because there's some wonderful stuff in it there. That a lot of times we don't get to see and understand it. Thou stir up or stir into flame the gift of God. And that gift of God is known in the Greek as charisma. And it's a free gift of grace which is in thee by the Holy Spirit. If you've been chosen and the Spirit has come into your life for a cause or a reason, that you have, and it come into you without a scar. And it will leave you when you pass away. It will leave you without a scar. And it'll come and go just like it was never there. But it will carry back to Christ who sits on the right hand of the Father now, whatever it is that he needs to give you life again. It's all there. All is needed because that's part of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not stay in a dead body because a body that's dead died of sin. It's because of sin. And the Holy Spirit's not going to stay in a sinful thing. Now, you might look at yourself as being somewhat sinful, but the Holy Spirit is always working to keep you on a straight and even keel, to keep you going in the way that God would have you to go, the Godhead would have you to go. That's part of the job. He is the dictator of your prayers to God. He dictates to God what you mean and how it can be understood by you. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit. And they were getting it by the putting on of the hands. Now this was to the children of Israel. That was given to them by God for getting the Spirit. Now, the Spirit didn't always dwell in man. It was either with or upon quite often. But for certain things, it was in. But you remember in Acts 2 when Christ, he was fixing to go back up to heaven and he said, you stay here. To the Jubilee, to the 50th day, and he said the Comforter will come. And that was the Holy Spirit, is the Comforter. Because that's my GPS. Because the Holy Spirit don't make of himself no reputation, but it all comes from the Son of God. So, I don't have a GPS. Well, I do have a GPS in my car, but it ain't mine. But the GPS here is God's perfect Son. And that's what the Holy Spirit relies on for your direction and my direction into what it is that God wants to accomplish. If you've never thought about that very much, oh, you need to think about it, because the Holy Spirit is certainly a great thing that one can have within him or her to have this understanding. By the putting on of my hands, that's the transfer of power. Certainly Paul had it, but he had it from the knowledge of the law, because the Hebrews lived under the law, or were supposed to, and they were supposed to carry the word of God to the world. They didn't do a very good job of it, but that was the choosing of Abraham and Sarah. And so the people were numbered by those of Abraham. And Sarah laughed when she found out she'd have a son. But she told God she didn't laugh. Nobody else might have heard it, but I heard it. And so that's what we need to remember. There's nothing you can hide from our God of heaven.
Amen.
You can't do it. Okay. So that's what I get from it, from my reading of that. And so we'll go to Jack's here in verse 6. I wish I could read it out of the Koine Greek, but I'll have to do it out of the pull down from that Mel Eberle put in Jack's book. It says, through which cause I remind you to kindle up, build that fire, to kindle up the gift of the God which is in you through the laying on of the hands of me. Okay, and I'm going to read it out of the more modern English. Through which cause I remind you to kindle up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So it gets changed around. It's basically the same thing, but in most senses, but it gets changed around a little bit, and it made more sense for them in their day, but we're not living in their day. We're living in our day now. So we're going to look at three places, and we're going to read Jack's notes here first. And it said, the gift which was in Timothy, and this is Jack Everly's writing, was given by God. The elders blessed Timothy by giving him their encouragement and good wishes by the ceremonial laying on of hands. Yes, it was a ceremony like baptism or any other thing, but there was a need for that.
I remember watching a deacon ordination when we went to the Baptist church, and they would all line up and lay hands on whoever was being ordained as a deacon.
Yeah. Yeah, we went up to Long Creek and done that one day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And Jack says, certainly God is one who determines the blessings. The fact that some religious group may decide to ordain some person through their ritual does not mean that God is involved in that practice.
That's the point.
That speaks a lot of words there.
That's the point.
The elders here were well respected and known by Paul, and more importantly, by God. He indeed did bestow his blessings upon the elders, Timothy, and the local assembly. The life and commitment of Paul is well accepted by man and God, the latter being the most important. Because lots of times, you know, Paul had to get his, things straightened out on the Damascus Road by being struck down by Christ. And the light of the Son of God put him on the ground, and he was blind for 3 days. And he was led by the hand, a man that had warrants in his pocket to bring anybody that believed in this Jesus thing, and he could bring him and put him in the common jail. And here he was struck down on the Damascus Road being led by the hand. So God had a real reason for Paul to begin with. But we've looked at it all down through these other books now and realized that how important it really was. I want you to turn back with me to the book of Luke. And this is Jack's this is Jack's notes here. And so we're going to go to Luke 12. And we're going to look at that, we're going to look at verse 49. 12:49. Luke 12:49 says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Luke 12:49 and 50 has on page 1474. I'm sorry I didn't tell you already, but I'll tell you now. So we're going to look at the next ones on page 1804. And that's in 1 Timothy 4. Let me find 1 Timothy. We're going to look at 13 through 16 on page 1804. We're going to look at 13 through 16. And he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Mediate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that by profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. That's full stop there. For in doing so, in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So this is 1 Timothy. This is the first letter that Paul wrote back to Timothy as to where he was. Now, we want to go all the way to the little book of James. And if I can find it. Yeah, it's on page 1851. If I got my notes right. Yeah. We want to look at James 3, 1851 page, if you have a companion Bible. And we want to look at Jack's, out of Jack's notes here on 4 and 5, chapter 3. It says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever thou goest listeth." Even so, he's making a point here, even so the tongue, and I'll put of man or human, is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. And so that's what Jack Eberly asked that we look there. And James was written by the brother of Jesus. So I made a note of that also. So let's go back to 2 Timothy 1 and look at verse 7. And out of the King James Version it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Remember, Paul is writing this epistle or this letter to Timothy, who is now somewhat older and should be able to understand these things that Paul is writing to him, because this is the last information that Paul is going to put forth to mankind, plus Timothy. And it says, "For God hath not." That's how it starts out. And when you look at the Greek, it is oak. And it's expressing full and direct negation, independently and absolutely, not depending upon any condition expressed or implied. And go back, "For God hath not given us this." And the first one he talks about is the spirit of fear. Now, a lot of times, even in this day, we're fearful of a lot of things. We've gotten fearful of each other. We've gotten fearful of our government. We've gotten fearful of even sending our children to school or even going to Bible study. We've become a little fearful because of what's out there and who's out there. But that's not what God gave us. He gave us the spirit, but it wasn't a spirit of fear. Amen. Because the spirit of fear denotes cowardice as to what is our belief. A lot of times we keep our mouth shut because we feel like that we might get into some kind of a problem if we speak our mind. That's not what it's supposed to be about. You remember the Holy Spirit always told Paul and others, said, if you go before the council, if you get called before the council of 70, which kindly ruled the members of the Hebrew people then, because that's what Rome gave us for our understanding and belief. And so it wasn't because we were supposed to. It was like the light that Christ talked about. Your body is like a light, His light. And you don't hide it under a bushel or put it under a hamper or something like that to cut the light off or to cut it down, but you use it as a belief thing because it is a power. It is dunamis. It is inherent power. It is the power to reproduce itself. God gave it to Adam and Eve. He gave it to Adam to have control over the world, but he never was able to do that because Satan wrangled him out of it in the Garden of Eden, or through the Garden of Eden. But when Satan saw Eve, he had never seen any of human form, if you will, that could reproduce itself. He was out to make that change take place in a hurry, and did. But that's another story for another time. But what is our belief? Where do we get our power? And how much power can we produce? We have a way of producing power when we really need it from within ourselves. God gave us the ability to do things sometimes that we can't ordinarily do. Because within us, this power wells up from inside us because of the Holy Spirit and gives us the ability to do things that we couldn't normally do. And yet we don't even thank Him for that. Okay. But we have that power within us about reproducing itself. So God has given us power. And it is self, it within us propels itself as need. And he talks about love, the power in 7, but of power and of love. And that love is agape love. It is the noun that's used to give us that word. And it means spontaneous love, irrespective of rights, because we're not to infringe upon any other's rights. That doesn't work much in this whole world, because the thing we're looking at right now is our freedoms, and our freedoms are being bent every which way, every day, by many of those that are supposed to be in the power and to give us hope and understanding. But that, again, gives me the understanding that I don't think God's going to put up with that too long. Because what he's telling Timothy here at the end of his life doesn't sound like what we've got right now. But God says in the last days, perilous times will come. So we need to look upon toward that too. Not only love, the spontaneous love, we don't need to walk on anybody else's rights, because they have the responsibility of understanding God's word also. That's part of our testimony. And of a sound mind. Well, this is where part of my study came in. Because a sound mind gives us wisdom. You know, a lot of us have family, have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And we try to impart to them some wisdom that we have. And the wisdom that we have is God-given, His wisdom. It's not so much our wisdom, but His wisdom. And that wisdom is knowledge. That's the reason we send our kids off to school. That's the reason that we send our kids to college. There's someone there that can speak wisdom to you with knowledge. And that knowledge brings understanding. Because you can have something, you can know something, you can have knowledge, but don't know how to use it. That's pretty prevalent in this age also. Because we've seen things on the computer and on television and other places, and we have knowledge of it, but we don't know how to use it or how to use it properly or how God expects us to use it. And many times, or most times, he is talking about the Holy Spirit giving us the understanding to do whatever it is that God chooses for us to do for Him. Because if God has called you from before the foundation of the world, you've been called for a reason. And for nothing more, that reason should be that your family knows God or knows about God. I realize it's an individual thing, but yet, if you don't ever hear it, you don't know how to use it. Because I learned this in my high school. You can't teach somebody something that you don't know yourself. It's impossible. You can try to muddle through, but it's an impossibility. That's what knowledge is. It wisdom is. It comes down to knowledge and to understand and to use. And not only that, but to give someone else a witness that you know it and that you can do it and you can teach them how to do it. Many times, that's what we're here for. Spread the word. To give the words to men that don't have this wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and truth. A lot of times, it all boils down to a big lie. Okay. How do we use it properly? Well, let's look what Jack said about verse 7. The Koine Greek says this, not forgave to us the God's spirit of cowardness, but rather of power and of love and of wisdom. So this kind of gets turned around a little bit out of the Koine Greek, but yet it is still great as the way it's put forward. It says, for God gave to us not a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of wisdom. Now, it's called in the King James Version, a sound mind. But a sound mind is based on God's will, which we use the word wisdom. Okay. And understand how to use it properly. That is what we're really talking about, because this is what Paul is talking to Timothy about. Timothy, what you've learned of me and what you've learned of others, remember to use it properly as God would have it to be used, regardless of the dispensation they live in.
Amen.
I'll add that to it too. Okay. So, let's read what Jack said about it. There's a certain boldness required and provided for those who would follow God's will in utilizing God's gift to them for His glory. Many stand at the threshold of the present, staring into the midst of the future, and then weakly retreat to the past. Oh my goodness. Timothy, and we are to go forth with braveness to face the greatest challenge. What is it? It's the future. It's what's still out there. We're still living right now. We're looked upon maybe as already have died with Him. But here we are. We're still here. Some may go without God. But we have the potential and the support to win the battles of the future. And that is only for His name's sake. The rest of it is like Paul said in Philippians, I count it but just a pile of dung. If God's not in it, it isn't worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's 4 or 5 places that we want to look at here. And the first one is way back in Proverbs. It's on page 800. Let me see if I can find it. In Proverbs 28. It's on page, it's on page 900. I missed it 100. I don't know how I missed it by 100, but I did. But that's Well, I did put it in my notes, right? I just thought I remembered it wrong. Proverbs 28, 1 and 2. I might read 3 and 4. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. That's full stop. You know, sometimes people get so scared that they can't stand it. They got to move. They got to go. They got to do something. And that's what he's talking about here in Proverbs. The wicked flee where no man pursueth. So when you see someone that's running, you need to understand if he's running for his health or if he's running because he's scared. It said, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Meaning, you ain't going to run a lion off. He's going to stand there and look at you, Betty. I ain't never been lion hunting and I don't ever expect to.
No, me neither.
But when these people in these coliseums back in those days, when they wanted a little sport, they'd put you in the coliseum and then turn the lion loose. And he's probably hadn't eaten anything in a long time. So what he's looking at is a mess of meat in front of him, which could be you, you know.
Yep.
So that's the situation. Verse 2, for the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. So, you know, when land gets overtook in battle or in war, or for some reason that you lose your homeland, and they'll put somebody in charge. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. But if you put the right man in its place, it may get better. It may get a lot better than it was beforehand. I want to read about the poor man. It said, a poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food and washes all the food away. They that forsook the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. That's good words and bad words. But God don't give you just the one hand. He gives you both hands of it. Each, you know, what's on the left, on the right, is the different thing. Okay, let's go from that. Let's go from Proverbs 28. We're going to go to Romans. And boy, that's a pretty good jump, Cecil. Well, yeah. But Jack says it's important. Let's go to Romans 8. And Romans 8 is... we're going to look at page 1678. Romans 8, we're going to look at 14, 15, and 16. Page 1678. Well, let's look at 13 and go to 16. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, Do mortify the deeds of the body, yet shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember Ephesians 1. 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So, along with this thing of being scared and being knocked down and dragged out, so to speak, there's a remedy for that, and it's called Christ Jesus. Amen. God's man and man's God. Okay, let's go on. Galatians 5. You want to go to Galatians 5? We'll get there in a minute. Okay. We're going to Galatians 5. We're going to look at 22 through 25. That's on page 1757 if you have a companion Bible. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, or temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. People are always looking for the handle on the gavel. They want to be the one to boom, put things in force. Sometimes they're not leaders. But they want to be leaders, and they should be maybe followers sometimes. Nevertheless, that's how it is. Okay, 1 Timothy 2. We're going to look at 8, 9, and 10. And that's on 1802, page 1802. Eight, nine, and ten. It said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And I'd also like to put on that my point of view. My point of view is tattoos do not make you look prettier. Whether you're a woman or a man. What did God say about the calves, the bulls, the heifers without spot or blemish? I don't think that works really good for God. Okay. And we're going to look at Titus 2. We got done with Titus this a couple of 3 weeks ago. Well, let's go back to Titus 2 again. In Titus 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. That's on page 1872. No, 1817. I'm sorry. My writing's getting better. My eyes is one. Chapter 2, 1 through 4. Paul says to Titus, like he says to Timothy a lot of times, but speak the things which become sound doctrine, full stop. That's what he's been telling Timothy too in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. That the aged men be sober, grave, tempered, sound in the faith, in charity, and in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. And that is a good saying in Titus. And I was thinking about the word that they used here that we used talking about. I was thinking it was in Eleven or twelve, but I guess it's not so. But they were talking about the women in Titus, about the women that was widows. But I've lost my train of thought on that now. But nevertheless, Timothy and Titus is pretty close to each other because of Paul's writing to both of them. One just happened to be a little older than the other one as it went. And I'm out of time. Well, where does time go?
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I say every day. Where did the day go?
When you're having fun, where does time go? With God's word, this seems to zip right along. But when I'm out cutting wood, it seems like it takes forever. But that's okay. That's just the way it is. We got to pay for our learning and raising. And for our knowledge that God has given us as we go along down this road. And to realize, man, that our witness and testimony for God is the greatest thing that we could give him. Not only that, but to give him thanks for everything that he has given us, because it all comes and it is all of God. It can be different words, but if it's by, for, with, all these other words that comes along in our language and words of reading now, and the things that we, that man have gotten from God's word and have given to us, the things that we see and give to others. It's a great blessing to be able to do it. So I'll leave that with you today and think on these things and realize, well, we don't get but a verse or two in a 50 or 55 minute part of that, but nevertheless, it's things to ponder on, and it's things to continue to think about, because these men of God were going to places and talking to people all the time, giving them their witness or their testimony, and to realize the situation that they had in those days of traveling and all the things. They can't jump in a vehicle like we can and be 300 miles down the road somewhere in this 3 or 4 or 5 hours. But this is the way it's gotten to be in the last 2,000 years. You know, I keep telling people as I witness to them, if I've not talked to them before, I start out with 4004 B.C. What does that mean to you? And then I say 4 B.C. What does that mean to you? Well, the Word tells me that with God, 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. So that's 4 days. Adam was created in 4004 B.C. Christ was put in the womb of Mary in 4 B.C. And Christ stayed here on the earth 33 years. He couldn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old because Mary and Joseph would have to account for the teachings that he put forth. And nobody wanted to hear those teachings very much. So that's AD 29. So we're in from AD 29 to AD 2029. We're in 2023. That's 6 years from now. 2 more days is going to be gone in God's understanding of time. Because he created time for us, not for him. Time is not that great a deal with God other than how it works out with man. So just think about, and then man has owed God a little bit for the Sabbaths and things that they didn't keep during the time they were supposed to keep these things, so all this is going to be balanced back up and reconciled. So that tells me that we ain't too many bad years away from Christ showing back up on the Mount of Olives again. And when he appears, things are going to start moving. And that's the future that we sometimes want to run away from. That's the future that we're trying to send men out into space, out into Mars and so on for another place to live, because God gave us this place and he provides everything that we have here. But that's not good enough for some people. They want some other place. They want to be the head of some other place. So all these countries are back in the race again trying to get somewhere else. But you cannot get out of the reach of God. It doesn't matter where you go. And they've got this new thing come out. Artificial intelligence. They say we're going to be in bad shape in a little while. Because of artificial intelligence. Don't believe that either. Because God is still in control. The Godhead will be in control. All we have are theirs. And they have lent it to us. And we need to protect it. And to testify about them and their being the powerful of this universe, whatever it is, and how far it goes. And I don't give much credence to this artificial intelligence. Because God has given us this wisdom. And then he backs it up with knowledge and understanding. And if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have any intelligence, because that is another gift of God. This wisdom is his. And he gives it to us to use for his glory. And if it's not used for that, he's the guy that controls the switch. He's the guy that says, fear God. Because he is the powerful one. God is love, but he's also power. He's the dynamo that we get our energy from. God bless you.